Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Friday, 11th of November, 2022 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man. Background to that news and sport, business, Sea-Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person. Tonight on this Remembrance Day, more on the Council of Ministers merry-go-round with Tim Glover, MHK. Remember, animals in war with a purple poppy. The meat plant is fundamental, says an MHK. Two in jail after £250,000 worth of cannabis is seized. And when is someone going to resurface Woodburn Road?
Man Benham, for all your business and legal needs.
And first of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Pastor Mai, Siobhan Fletcher.
Pastor Mai. Changes to the Council of Ministers in the past 6 months have been described as quite extraordinary. There have been 6 changes around the Cabinet table since May. Almost £70,000 has been paid out into Ukrainian refugees from the Manx benefits system. The figure has been revealed in response to a Freedom of Information request. A serving soldier has been sentenced at Douglas Courthouse today after kicking a man in the face at a wedding. The Westbourne Road in Ramsey is closed from the junction with Queen's Pier Road and the Concord House. DOI say it's due to an unsafe roof at Ramsey bus station. An emergency closure is in place until 4:30 on Monday afternoon. Further afield, a British security guard who worked at the UK embassy in Berlin has pleaded guilty to 8 offences of spying for Russia. The UK's economy shrunk by 0.2% in the third quarter of this year, meaning it's taken a step towards recession. And Joe Biden insists the US is doing its bit to fight climate change. The president's been speaking at the COP27 summit and has promised his country will meet emissions targets by 2030. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Gurumaya, thank you, Siobhan, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. There was a gale warning in operation for the North Irish Sea, but everything's quietening down now. The state of sea was rough. It's becoming moderate later. Good thing is, no weather warning for the Isle of Man. There is fog on the mountain road, though, so says the Matrix signs. So a wet evening on the Isle of Man and overnight, with a moderate to fresh wind coming in from the south to southwest, down to 12 Celsius. For Jasan, tomorrow Saturday, early rain will soon clear. Then it's going to be dry with some sunny spells on a moderate to fresh south-southeasterly. Daylight maximum 15 Celsius, overnight minimum 12. Into Jaduni, Sunday dry with sunny spells, a moderate to fresh southeasterly, top temperature 16 degrees. Tide's on the way out, low water 19 minutes past 7, high tide 5 past 1am, low water tomorrow morning 21 minutes past 7, the sun rises at 20 to 8.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and see a range of products from windows to doors, mirrors to splashbacks, manxglass.com.
Arbury Castle, Town and Maloo MHK. Tim Glover will ask an urgent question in Tynwald next week about recent changes in the Council of Ministers lineup. With 6 changes in the past 6 months, Tim Glover will ask the Chief Minister whether it affects the stability of government. Lewis Foster spoke to Tim Glover and asked him why he was putting the question forward.
Well, I think the question needs to be asked. It's come to that juncture now. We have had, as you've alluded to, several changes of positions and personnel over the last 6 months, and people out on the street, as I say, I was going and meeting all these agricultural people yesterday. You're out there and people were coming up and expressing concern as to what's going on at the moment with all the changes. So we've all stood on an election mandate of trying to be transparent. I think it would have been really remiss if a backbencher hadn't actually put a question in ahead of Tynwald, an urgent question vis-a-vis the events we've just had in this last very week. So it's about transparency. It's being asked because people are talking about it, and we'll see where we go.
During your time as a member of the DOI, you've had a change of minister during that time. What effect does that have?
It does have a little bit of an effect, but it's more that the new minister coming in has to spend some time getting to know the department again. So there's a transition period when a new minister comes in. But the opportunity is there now on Tuesday for the Chief Minister to make a statement and to try and put some calmness back into the situation. But there's also an opportunity for backbenchers to air their views and hold the Chief Minister and the Council of Ministers to account, and that's important.
Presumably you're not the only MHK concerned about this right now.
I'm not. I've been at various meetings today on Friday, and there's been a lot of discussion, as you can imagine, as to the comings and goings that have gone on. So there is real concern on the backbenchers, and we'll hear more on Tuesday about that.
Two men have been jailed for their part in a drug trafficking operation which saw police recover more than £250,000 worth of cannabis. Bilal Mogul from Manchester and Christopher Joseph Parker from Fairfield Avenue in Oncombe were sentenced at Douglas Courthouse today. Tessa Hawley was in court for Manx Radio.
Police observed the duo meeting near Corkhill's garage in Oncombe on the 3rd of September, with the two men seen passing items between their vans. When officers stopped Parker near his home shortly after, they recovered 13 kilos of cannabis from his vehicle. The Class B substance was said to have a Manx street value of up to £267,862. A subsequent search of Parker's address saw police recover more than a kilogram of cannabis. This was said to be worth more than £21,000. Officers also found more than £33,000 concealed in the 43-year-old's garden. Mogul, who was driving a UK-registered hire van, told officers he was on the island to deliver takeaway items to an Indian restaurant, but couldn't provide details of which one. The 64-year-old's travel document showed he'd spent £950 on his steam packet sailing to the island the day before. Parker later admitted two offences of possession of cannabis with intent to supply and one of possession of criminal property, describing Parker's offending as a catastrophic error of judgment due to his vulnerable position. His advocate added he'd been amenable to suggestion from those higher up the chain. Mogul admitted producing cannabis to the Isle of Man and possessing the drug with intent to supply. In his basis of plea, Mogul said he wasn't aware of the quantities involved and was due to receive £5,000 for his part in the operation, adding, "I was only the courier." Jailing Parker for 5 years, Deemster Graham Cook told him, "You may not have been supplying it, but you were warehousing it for someone who has a massive supply chain." Mogul was jailed for 4 years and 8 months and will be excluded from the Isle of Man on his release from prison.
If you have a news story for Manx Radio to investigate and report, email newsroom@manxradio.com or call 682 631 any time of day or night.
Faster May, good evening, 22 minutes before 6, live from Doug us in the Isle of Man. This is Update on Manx Radio. Having a properly functioning meat plant in the Isle of Man is fundamental for Manx farmers. The view of the former president of the Manx National Farmers Union, who's reacted to a damning audit of the facility. Auditors found extensive issues with adherence to legislation, data, recruitment and training, and it's something that the heir of Michael MHK, Tim Johnson, says can't go on.
This is a real fundamental challenge for farmers. The meat plant is central, really, to the agricultural industry on the island. It really is the hub. So this is not just about farmers producing cattle, sheep, pigs. This affects the whole industry, the dairy industry, cereal farmers. So having a functioning meat plant is absolutely fundamental.
Well, what do you expect to happen as a knock-on effect with the issues that have been highlighted?
One of my biggest issues now, which I think the government have to grasp very, very quickly, is the cash flow crisis that this is creating for the farming industry. A farmer booking in, say, cattle today, those cattle probably aren't going to be going into the meat plant until, say, second, third week in January, perhaps not getting paid until February. Now, farmers are businessmen, they've got bills to pay. That is unsustainable. This is an industry that, like every other, has been hammered by costs. Fertiliser costs were one of the first things to go up long before many other businesses were seeing cost increases. Farmers cannot afford this. The government have to look, the department has to look at how they can help the industry and bring forward plans to help farmers through this very difficult time. Because whatever's said, whatever plans there are for the meat plant and ideas, and yes, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, ultimately it's here and now that the problems are and they need to address that.
And the Minister for Environment, Food and Agriculture just now said that a reason behind why there was a lack of action in the year that she's already been in that position was due to a lack of information that was accessible. What do you think of that?
There's some real failure here in basic sort of corporate governance, audit, risk, compliance, health and safety, HR. these are issues that shouldn't have just been left for 12 months. These should have been recognised a lot sooner, and I think it's a real failure of leadership and management within there.
The political member responsible for highways believes the need to resurface Woodburn Road in Douglas should have been given a higher priority than work on a pedestrian crossing on Victoria Street. Stu Peters, MHK, says understanding how the Department of Infrastructure prioritises this project is something he's still learning about.
I think people assume that somebody who's a political member can make huge changes, and you know that's not the case. Everything's done pretty much by consensus. Even decisions on which roads get rebuilt, you know, generally speaking, has got a chain of command, and half a dozen people have got to sign off and say, yes, this is a good idea, and yes, we've got the money for it or whatever. So it's not just a case of, you know, I can get the A5 resurfaced because that's the road that I travel on most.
There is an argument, and certainly it was an argument I employed when I was DOI minister, that politics should be kept completely out of priorities when it comes to road improvements.
The only thing that I would say about that is that the department has got its own priorities, and it's all very carefully thought through, and there are all sorts of factors that go into prioritising one road over another. But I do have serious questions about it. I've only been in the department for a couple of weeks, so it's early days, but I am talking to people like Jeff Robinson at the moment to just ask those questions. Why are we spending an awful lot of time and money and effort on Victoria Street, for example? Because, not that I do an awful lot of shopping, but whenever I go into town as a pedestrian, I've never once thought, oh, that junction there with the Pelican Crossing, it needs to be rebuilt. It strikes me that there are far more worthy places around the island with big potholes or rotten road surfaces. I mean, just Woodburn Road, for example, if you ever drive up there towards the grandstand, it's like a patchwork quilt. It's disgraceful for a main road. And I would have thought that that would take priority over something like Victoria Street. But the answer I got is, well, this isn't a sudden whim. This has been on the cards ever since we redid Strand Street and Duke Street. Even so, I think if I was benevolent dictator for life, I would have said, forget that. You know, that's fine. It works. Might not be perfect, but it's good enough. Let's get on to the things that are really quite broken.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The motorship Ben McCree departed Heysham at 2:08. Should be into Douglas in the next 10-15 minutes or so, and then on the Linkspan, departing at 7:45 this evening, arriving in Heysham at 11:30. The overnight departure 2:15, back to Douglas tomorrow morning at 6. And the morning departure, Ben McCree heads to Heysham at 8:45.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
To mark Remembrance Day today, many people will wear a poppy, but that poppy may not always be a red one. Susan Osborne is the co-founder of the Warhorse Memorial and the Animal Purple Poppy Fund. She says we should remember the role animals have played alongside our servicemen and women.
We started off with horses and mules and donkeys, but our volunteers quickly told us, well, what about the dogs? What about the cats? What about the pigeons? What about the canaries? You know, all the animals. What about camels? All the animals, and I think it's the Imperial War Museum, suggests that over the course of two world wars, 16 types of animals went to war. Sometimes they were just companions for soldiers or servicemen and women, but often they were used in battle, you know, particularly in the First World War. Horses and mules and donkeys were used to pull the munitions, the heavy artillery. Not so much so the cavalry horses, because they soon found out in the quagmire of the trenches that wasn't going to work. Dogs were sent down. I mean, I've got a rescue dog, a Labrador Retriever. Dogs like my Woody would have been sent down the trenches with little messages on their backs to, you know, because men couldn't crawl through the narrow trenches, but dogs could. Cats were sent to kill the rats, because obviously the vermin was a problem for soldiers in the trenches. And of course, we all know the role that pigeons played, carrying vital messages, you know, from one platoon to another and saving many lives. So, you know, animals have played their part. And what we like to do on Remembrance Sunday is not diminish the role that men and women have played, of course not, but just alongside them, the role that animals have played, because they serve too. So, you know, they play their part. They play their part in Afghanistan, in Ukraine, they're playing their part. You know, they're still needed, and we we owe them a debt of gratitude, you know. So I think it's just nice to remember to wear your purple poppy alongside your red.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 6:15, now the cryptocurrency exchange FTX has filed for bankruptcy in America. Its chief executive, Sam Bankman-Fried, has stepped down. Newly appointed chief exec John Ray says the immediate relief of Chapter 11 is appropriate to provide the FTX group with the opportunity to assess the situation and develop a process to maximize recoveries for shareholders. FTX, which was run by the 30-year-old crypto entrepreneur Bankman-Fried, has been rocked by a surge in withdrawals after concerns mounted about its financial health, causing a liquidity crunch. Heathrow Airport stated it won't reintroduce a cap on passenger numbers around Christmas. The UK's biggest airport says it was preparing for the biggest festive travel season in 3 years and predicted staffing will be back to pre-pandemic levels before 2023 summer holidays. Plus, it's supporting the UK Border Force and others with contingency plans for potential strikes. Following the lifting of COVID travel restrictions this year, some aviation businesses struggle with staff shortages as demand for travel bounced back in July. Heathrow introduced a daily limit of 100,000 passengers to try to tackle customer disruption. Some airlines had to cancel flights to comply, and the cap was extended to the 29th of October. Now it's ended.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks were mixed despite the buoyance triggered by a softer than expected US consumer price index reading. The dollar headed for its biggest two-day drop in almost 14 years, and oil jumped after health authorities in top global crude importer China eased some of the country's heavy COVID restrictions. The numbers now from Ramsey Crookall at the close in London. The FTSE 100 down 0.8% at 7,380. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.6% at the close at 14,235. Currently New York City, the Dow Jones Industrials down 0.8% at 33,432. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up 0.4% at 11,160. The S&P 500 in Chicago down barely 0.1% at 3,953. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling trading at $1 17.8 cents, €1 14 cents, and 20 South African rand 36.6 cents. In commodities, gold is up 0.5% at the moment, $1,762 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up almost 2.6% at $95.70.
You've got an investment plan?
Yeah, Mike set it up.
But don't you need loads of money to do that?
Not this one. It's called Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, and you pay in monthly as little as £100. So it's like saving regularly, really helping us invest in the future. For a house, of the kids' education.
£100 a month? I could easily do that.
You should. The sooner you start, the better.
Invest in your future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Isle of Man Water Sports. Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Here's the relevant information. If you're sailing, kayaking, windsurfing, paddleboarding, sea swimming, diving or surfing this weekend, sea temperatures 13 degrees Celsius, and the weather for tomorrow, Saturday, south-southwesterly, force 7 or gale 8, decreasing 6 or 7 late afternoon, wave height 1 to 2 metres, wave period 5 to 6 seconds, high tide is 1:27 p.m. For Sunday the 13th, the wind is south-southeasterly, force 4 or 5, backing southeasterly later. Wave height 1 to 2 metres, wave period 5 to 6 seconds, and high tide 2:01 p.m.
If you have failed glazing units, speak to the team at Manx Glass and Glazing. Call 674-573.
A serving soldier has narrowly escaped losing his liberty and his career after kicking a man in the face at a wedding. Matthew Thomas Wyatt was sentenced today, Remembrance Day, at Douglas Courthouse.
Police were called to Amersfield House in St Jude's just after midnight on the 7th of August to reports of an assault. They found a male guest with an injury to his chin and damage to his teeth. Witnesses reported seeing Wyatt arguing with his girlfriend before the guest went over to him on the lawn in an attempt to defuse the situation. Wyatt responded by kicking him in the face. The 30-year-old was arrested and later told police he'd been drinking heavily and had no recollection of the incident or why he'd done it. In a victim impact statement, the injured man detailed how the attack had affected his physical and mental health. The man said he now suffers with anxiety and self-esteem issues, as well as difficulties with his vision, headaches and sensitivity in his mouth. The dental work he needs will cost thousands of pounds. I believe I don't deserve what happened to me that day, he added. Wyatt, who has no previous convictions, later pleaded guilty to assault, causing actual bodily harm. His advocate told today's court hearing that his client would automatically be dismissed from the British Army if he was sentenced to immediate custody. That position was confirmed by a captain of the Royal Artillery who was in the public gallery. Describing the victim as a stationary sitting target, the advocate added, "This is a man who could not be more remorseful for his actions." Sentencing Wyatt to 10 months in custody, suspended for 18 months, Deemster Graham Cook described the situation as very unsatisfactory, adding, "What you did is without any realistic explanation at all." Deemster Cook also ordered Wyatt to pay the victim £3,000 in compensation and £125 in prosecution costs, telling him, "I put this down to a complete moment of madness. I would hope that it would never happen again."
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Fastamai, good evening. Well, the Manx Rams have started their under 17 Europe Netball Challenge campaign strong with a very convincing win over Switzerland. The Manx side came out fighting with countless intercepts all down the court and patient attacking play that saw them finish quarter one 15-3 up. Switzerland did step up their game in quarter two, but starting as they mean to go on, the Rams kept their foot heavily pressed down, which led to a halftime score of 33-11. The Rams pushed on with fresh legs and new combinations in quarter three, but it didn't disrupt the flow of the game. They went into the final quarter 44-19 up. A big day lies in store for the Rams tomorrow when they play arguably not one, but two of their biggest competitors of the tournament. First up is the UAE at 11 o'clock our time. The Manx side then return to the court again at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening to battle it out with the Republic of Ireland. All the matches are being streamed live. You can find the link to it on the Isle of Man Netball Facebook page. And the Isle of Man's first ever women's cricket team's debut has been delayed due to bad weather. The Manx side is currently in Spain to compete in the T20 Multinations Tournament at Desert Springs. Over the next 4 days, they'll go up against Spain, Sweden, Norway and Italy. Their opening match today was due to be against Sweden. A live stream of the matches can be found on the Isle of Man Cricket Facebook page. And the Isle of Man men's volleyball team is in action again this weekend. The Manx side is competing in round one of Volleyball England's National Shield competition. A live stream of the match will be put up on the Isle of Man Volleyball Facebook page tomorrow afternoon at 1:30.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Ronald's Way, the 7:30 EasyJet from London and Gatwick is showing on time. Then it's the 5:08 returning patient transfer Loganair from Liverpool on time. And then the 8:10 Loganair from London City showing on time. Departing this evening, it's the 6 o'clock Loganair patient transfer plane to Liverpool on time. And then the 8 o'clock EasyJet return to Gatwick. On the roads, fog on the Mountain Road, Ballykillowy Roads closed for resurfacing north of Port Erin, temporary lights on Ballinard Road in Douglas for Pipe Lane, narrow lanes and pedestrian crossing temporary, Victoria Street in Douglas, watch out for that, temporary closures on the Regaby Road West for water replacement, temporary lights on the Patrick Road near the Fish Farm for work on the pavement, Castle Street one way northbound in Castletown, and of course we got the prom in Peel closed between the Manx Utilities pumping station to Weatherglass Corner.
The island's new solely dedicated electric and hybrid vehicle service centre. Get more with Quayside.
A Christmas shoebox appeal has been created by a group of volunteers to help with the people in Ukraine. Boxes containing toothpaste, a toothbrush, a scarf and a small toy will be gifted to an orphanage that also acts as a hospital for children with special needs in Lviv. The final day for collections, the 24th of November. Manx support from Ukraine representatives Jim Quinn and Katie O'Hay.
None of us would want our children's Christmas taken from them, and you know it takes 10-15 minutes to put a box together.
When the kids actually receive them, they don't just think, oh look, I've got these these physical items here in front of me. They then realise that somebody not in their country actually cares about them enough to send them something.
I think probably the key factor in it for me was the amount that of children, the number of children that are now impacted in this particular orphanage has dramatically increased. And I mean, the key is in the title, orphanage. So these are kids that not only, you know, won't be getting their usual Christmas, their life has been turned upside down, potentially won't ever see their parents again if they're still alive. In terms of what we can do to help, it's minimal. I mean, we think nothing of going out and, I've got two kids, so I think nothing of going out and buying my children nice things for Christmas. Whereas what we're actually asking people to provide for these children who are in need are the bare essentials that we go through everyday life with.
The orphanage is for kids who have been orphaned due to the war. They've came from very bad backgrounds. The orphanage actually doubles up as a hospital for a special hospital for kids with digestive problems and things like that as well. Before all this kicked off, they had round about 30 kids. They are now 183, and the number is always growing. So anything that we can do to help them, kids with special needs, give them a fidget toy just to take their mind off of things, let them sit down and play with the fidget toy for 5 minutes, then that would give the staff that little bit more time to concentrate on other things.
That's it for Update Tonight from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher and producer Rhiann Evans. I'm Andy Wint, back Monday evening, 5:30.
WIN